Welcome to the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Hagen, a nutrition coach, entrepreneur, food freedom expert, and forever a recovering disordered eater. I am here to help you own your enoughness, find your very own food freedom, and achieve your health and wellness goals in a way that gives more than it takes. Each week, I will provide you with insight and inspiration surrounding no-nonsense nutrition, mindset, motivation, body image, confidence, and other wellness wisdom. Welcome back to another episode of the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. Today, I am joined by Paige, and I'm really excited to get to know more about Paige, but I'm really thrilled for Paige to teach us all about herself, also about some things that can help us step into our power a little bit, because Paige is a badass coach. She is a fitness coach turned business coach for fitness coaches, and she also happens to be a podcaster. Paige, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm thrilled to have you. I'm glad that we made this work. I know with 2 1-year-olds in the mix, childcare schedules, it's a little messy sometimes.
Yeah, I feel like it's been a little bit getting here, but we're here.
We're here. We made it. So Paige, we have a fun little icebreaker question that we ask all of our guest experts. And it's really just a great way for us to get to know you outside of the hats that you wear in terms of business and coaching. And that question is, if you had a dating profile, your relationship status is moot, but if you had one, what fun facts would you put on that dating profile? What would it say?
Oh my gosh. This is such a fun and interesting question. I don't know what fun facts I'd put on there, but I think what I would put on there is buckle up and be ready to pivot because I feel like my life is different every single year and things go fast every single year. I don't really know what fun facts I would put on there. I mean, is that kind of what you're looking for? Like what I like to do?
Yeah. What you like to do, who you are, like what you're into. Yeah. What are some things that maybe if we were going to step into your life, we would want to know?
Okay. So I'm a single mom, first of all. That's probably pretty important to put on a dating profile, right?
Yeah, I would imagine. I've never had one. So this is all just make believe.
Yep. So I know I've never had an online dating profile either. So I'm like not even sure what they look like. But single mom to a 1-year-old baby. I am also a dog mom and that's my first baby. So like she's gets treated very closely to a real human baby. So that's important. Must like dogs. I travel a lot. I love to travel. I work from home. Everything, literally life is just different all the time. I think that the person would have to be very on their toes with me.
I think part of that comes with like dog mom life and having a 1-year-old at home. Like every day is just, my husband and I were just talking about this the other day because I'm sure you understand our 1-year-old is like on the move all the time. So every day is like a new adventure. Like, what are we going to destroy today? What are we going to get into? Like how far will the toilet paper roll extend throughout the house? You know, like it's always something.
Always. And
he was like, wow, we really thought we had it bad in terms of like just crazy chaos when it was just the 2 dogs. Cause we have 2 golden retrievers and now adding a baby to the mix. It's like, oh my gosh, we had no idea.
Yeah, that's a lot of energy because even 2 golden retrievers is like, aren't they just the most energetic dogs ever?
They are very much so. Yep. We are teaching them that, you know, Cole, our 1-year-old, is not at a place where he can join the wrestle puddle. So we need to, you know, be calm a little bit. How old is your dog?
She just turned 5. So her and my daughter, Gray, my daughter's name is Gray. My dog's name is Merlot. They are 2 days apart, like birthday wise, but Merlot's 5 and I'm lucky because she's just the most chill lump on a log. She's a Cane Corso. If you know what that is, Italian Mastiff. So she's just so chill and easy. So I don't know how I would handle a golden retriever.
And they're like 1.5 and 2.5. So I'm jealous of like seeing Merlot on your stories. Cause it's not just social media. She is apparently very chill and that just looks like a wonderful combination.
She's so chill. And I guess like a little forewarning, you might hear her snoring on this podcast because she also is attached to me. And then as soon as I get on calls, the snoring just starts. She falls asleep so fast. So I'll like
kind of jolt her awake and be like, stop it.
And she was okay with Gray coming onto the scene and taking all of your attention?
Like, I would say half okay. She gets jealous, but she also loves Gray. So it's kind of funny.
It's a okay, I guess I'll handle this. It comes with the beautiful package of a crazy one-year-old.
Yeah, it's funny.
So Paige, tell us and tell me, because I don't know the answer to this. How did you get started in the health and fitness space? Because you were a fitness coach first. Where did that passion come from?
Yeah. So I would say, I mean, as a kid, I was always passionate about health and fitness. I mean, my mom and my dad, they were avid gym goers. I would do like those. What are those videos? Do you remember like Taibo? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, on Taibo.
Taibo, yeah. So I would do that for fun as a kid. Like I just loved it. And as a teenager, I was actually sent away to a boarding school. So it was almost, if you know what the Paris Hilton story is, like that documentary on Paris Hilton, exact same thing. So I went to that. Went to a wilderness camp. This is like a very fast paced version of this story, by the way. But long story short, after that, I felt very, very just lost in my life. I felt like, okay, I was sent to this school. I didn't go to school like regular kids. I was apparently bad. I got very lost. And from there, I kind of spiraled into drugs and alcohol. And I mean, as a kid, I didn't grow up in that environment, right? My parents were very healthy. There's the gym. Like I always had that piece of me. But after the boarding school experience, I was just lost and I felt very empty and I didn't know who I was. And so I really got into that scene, got very lost into that. The one thing that really helped pull me out of that was that I still had that piece of health and fitness. And so even though I'd be up until 6 a.m. doing God knows what, I would go to the gym that day still and like try and hold on to that piece of like, see, I'm okay. I'm good. I got this. But eventually I knew that, you know, my life probably wasn't going to continue if I didn't get out of that. And so I started holding on to health and fitness a little bit more and I almost used it as like this rope to get me out of a really, really dark space. So fast forward again, such a fast forwarded version of that story, but fast forward to 2014, I was working a pretty good salary job. I was working in the oil industry. And I'm from Canada and originally from Alberta. So if you guys know, that's like a booming industry there. It's kind of like Texas. And then I don't live there now, but I had a good job. So I was in this job, and because I had really used health and fitness as almost this rope to get me out of this place, I kind of became obsessed with it. I absolutely loved it. And people in my office would always come to me and kind of just ask, like, how are you doing this? Why? How do you make the decision to bring your lunches to work when everyone else just goes out? Or like, how do you have the willpower to say no to the donuts in the office room? And they would see how I would meal prep and they'd see that I'd go to the gym after work. And people just kind of started asking me these things of how I was doing these things. So that was just kind of my personality. I loved it. In 2014, I hired my own online health coach because I wanted to take it to the next level. Like I had been studying. I was an avid bodybuilder.com reader. I was like lived on that site. I loved it. I was on it at work all the time. And so I hired my first coach in 2014. He was a bodybuilding coach. It was all online. Absolutely loved it. I worked with that coach and then another coach from 2014 to 2017. And for some reason in that time, didn't really realize that that was something I wanted to do. I was obsessed with it. I loved it. I loved working with my coaches. But it was just like a very healthy passion. I loved it. And then in 2017, I kind of realized, even though I had this really amazing job and I had benefits and a salary and it was easy, I could go to work at 8. I could go to work at 10 if I wanted. It was just so chill. It was really relaxed. I knew that health and fitness was just such a big piece of me and that I needed to do something with that in my life instead. And so in 2017, I decided to get my personal training certification. And kind of what do you do after you get a personal training certification? most people, they go to work at a gym, right? Like you get your training certification, you do the course in person. And then the next step is like you go and you interview at gyms and you get a gym placement. So that was my plan, was to slowly get out of my job that I had and become a personal trainer. And as I was interviewing at gyms and talking to managers and just kind of getting the lay of the land of different gyms, I started to realize that the health and the fitness that I was used to and like what I would want to do with my clients, like I know that it had such a big impact on me, not just physically, but emotionally, spiritually, like it literally saved my life. I knew that if I went to work at a gym as an in-person trainer, I wouldn't have that same impact on people. And the reason for it is because I was only seeing those people once a week, maybe once every 2 weeks for an hour. I didn't know what they were doing in between that 1 hour that I saw them and the rest of their day, right? Like it was just such a short amount of time. And I know from me working with online coaches, I knew how big that was for me. I had the workouts. But then I also had the check-ins every week. And I also had my coach kind of like in my back pocket to talk to. And I just kind of quickly realized that the transformation that I wanted to give people and how I wanted to help people just included so much more than a regular gym session once a week. So in 2017, I decided that I was going to quit my job and start my own online personal training, fitness, health, whatever you want to call it, business. And so in 2017, I hired my first, no, 2018 is when I decided to hire my first coach. 2017, I piddled around with a website, got my first client, didn't really know what I was doing. So in 2018 is when I hired my first business coach. 6 months after that, I went full time. And a year after that, I was able to grow a six-figure online coaching business.
That's amazing. Wow. Yeah. Honestly, you and my husband have very similar stories in terms of like kind of feeling somewhat lost and like not quite sure where your identity lands and fitness being the thing that kind of kept you grounded throughout it all. So yeah. I can totally understand how powerful that felt for you. I'm curious because Paige, it sounds like you always had a coach, like whether it was a fitness coach and then you kind of pivoted to getting a business coach. Where did the knowledge of I need some support come from?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, I had done a lot of it just like research wise and stuff on my own from the bodybuilding website, honestly, from the beginning, because I just love to research into things. But I think what I realized was that there was only like I wanted that personalized approach that someone could look at what my goals were and they were already kind of a few steps ahead of me and they would know exactly what to give me to get there faster rather than me trying to just take on, you know, Google or the websites and try and figure out what it was that I needed because that worked for so long, but it was a long journey. It wasn't fast. And I think for me, I was ready to just kind of collapse that time, get something personalized for me, have that accountability as well. I think that was a huge thing is I did a lot of research on my own and I liked looking into things. Like I would totally nerd out on that kind of stuff. But it was easy for me to slip out of it sometimes too. And I found that because of that, it would take me longer to really achieve what I was wanting to achieve. And I think by having a coach, you kind of have that next level of support and accountability that now your goals, you're not only accountable to yourself, but like you have this other person too.
Totally. Yeah, I get that. Cause I've done the same thing that you mentioned for like, you know, 6 months, you kind of piddled around and figured it out and watched all the free webinars and did all the like education consuming stuff. But there's a huge difference between knowing and doing. And I think hiring a coach in my experience, and it sounds like in your experience too, is kind of what you need to bridge that gap.
Yeah. And I think it can just get overwhelming too. Like you can take on all this information and it's amazing piece by piece, but then putting it all together, it can almost get you into that like over analysis paralysis where you just freeze and then you just don't even know what direction to go. And so at least if I had someone kind of telling me, okay, this is your goal, this is where you're going to start, that's going to be a lot easier than me being like, okay, this is what I want. Like, what are the first steps? And I, you know, when you're by yourself too, a lot of times you kind of want to like jump to the extreme. You kind of want to just, and you don't trust the process as easy. And I think with especially health and fitness, that's a huge piece, is sometimes you got to just trust the process. Even if you think that, you know, maybe you need to be eating less calories or maybe you need to be working out more, maybe that's actually not what you need. And it's easy for someone else who is kind of, you know, up higher on the mountain, looking down, seeing what it is that you need to do. It's easier for them to direct you and you just kind of trust that.
Yeah. And I was also going to say, especially with health and fitness, there's so much conflicting education. Mm-hmm. So you can be doing all the consuming, you know, you, it sounded like you had one core website that you went to, which I think is better than being like, let me collect as much information as possible from all of the websites or all of the influencers. And then it's like, wait a second, this one's telling me to do this and that one's telling me to, and then it kind of freezes you. You don't know what to do.
Yeah. Well, especially like that was a while ago. Now it would be so hard because you have information coming from you everywhere. So I don't know if I would be able to just have one website if it was in today's time.
That's true. That's true. I didn't think about, I mean, there's, a lot of years in there.
That was like 10 years ago. More than 10 years ago.
I am asking a selfish question now, but I know that there are going to be listeners who are thinking the same thing I am. So you mentioned you're a single mom. You also are a badass business owner and you've been running two businesses, right? Like you had the fitness coaching empire. Now you're the business coach for fitness coaches. And I imagine because of how passionate you are about fitness, that you prioritize your own health and fitness. Mm-hmm. How the heck do you do it all?
Schedules and routines. So right now my baby is, she just turned one on the 16th. And so she goes with her dad three times a week, but only for 4 hours. So for me, it's like really looking at using that time and being very, I don't want to say strict, but like kind of strict with myself to use that time as me time. And I mean, with running a business, I'm sure you know, the to-do list doesn't end. Like there's always stuff to do. And so for me, it's really making sure that I have certain days of the week, like my Mondays, my Tuesdays. My Mondays are my CEO days. My Tuesdays, that's when I work on content. My Wednesdays, that's like client calls and podcast interviews and stuff like that, even though this is a Sunday, but this is a little bit of a special occasion. But, and I do it like that. Thursdays, more podcasts, stuff like that. And then those times that she's with him, I make sure that I'm getting a workout in. I've had to really redo my workout routines and like my health and fitness routines. I mean, before I had my daughter, I was going to hot yoga three times a week. I was going to spin once a week. I was going to the gym four times a week. I was doing like my CrossFit one time, like it was just, I had a very different schedule and that was really my life. I loved it. I loved going to yoga first thing in the morning before like the sun came up. And then I loved going to the gym after I was done work and stuff like that. And so now it looks very different where I can't do that because my daughter's only, she's with me every night and every morning. Obviously she doesn't have sleepovers or anything yet. And she's on her co-parenting schedule only three times a week for 4 hours. So I'll wake up early at 5:15. She usually sleeps until 7 or so. So I'll wake up early and I'll get some yoga in then. And then that's when I'll just kind of take me time. And even if I'm tired, I mean, I do have times where I listen to that. If I'm like, no, I really need some sleep, I'll take it and just like listen to my body. But for the most part, I do try and make that a routine. And I find that it's, now that it's a routine, it's just kind of natural to do. When she is on her, so when she wakes up, then it's time with her. I'm taking her out for a walk. I'm taking Merlot out for a walk. And we're kind of just spending that time. When we get back home, I'm making her breakfast and just like spending that time with her. And then she goes down for her nap for 3 hours or so, 2.5, 3 hours. That's my work time. So that's when I'll get work done. I am a really big fan of outsourcing and bringing in help because I really do believe, especially now after having a business, that time is money. And if I'm, you know, spending time doing something that I don't need to do, what is that taking away from in business? So especially because I have to really be pretty adamant on my schedule, I bring in a nanny for days where I have calls because I could do it when she's sleeping, but what if she wakes up, or you know what I mean? Like there's whatever. And so I bring in a nanny for those two times. She's really just there just because it kind of in case. And so I do like to make sure that I am with Gray lots of the times too. And then after work, after my 3 hours, 4 hours of work, whatever it is, then I spend time with her. And at nighttime, then I'll usually do something for myself again. So maybe it's just like chilling if I need to chill. Maybe it's like another little slow yoga stretch. I do bring my nanny in on Fridays, and I don't work usually on Fridays. That's kind of just a me time, but that's when I like to go and do my CrossFit gym. And I only do that once a week now, but I think once a week is a lot better than none. And then on the Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays, which are the co-parenting days, I like to make sure that I'm going to the gym at least for an hour or two. And so my gym days obviously just look different. They're full body splits now instead of just like, or they're full body workouts instead of splits. And so things just look different. I mean, I've just rearranged things. I still try and just prioritize the things that matter to me. I bring in a cleaner now so that I'm not like wasting my time doing that. And yeah, things just look different. I look at what's important to me, which is my health, my daughter. And then I look at, okay, how can I make sure that those things are priority, and what do I need to bring in around me, like a nanny, a cleaner, whatever, as support to make that happen, assistant for my business, that kind of thing.
I love that.
Hopefully that answered it. I feel like I was kind of all over the place.
But no, it gives us, I mean, it gave me like a real weak perspective of like, okay, how are you capitalizing on the time that you have? And it also sounds like you're very intentional about being present. Like when you are with Gray, that's your time with Gray, rather than trying to multitask and like do work, but also hang out with her.
Yeah.
I am also loving a couple of things that you threw in there in terms of like, one is better than none. And also the fact that your fitness routine now just has to look so different than your fitness routine before Gray. Like that makes sense. But I think sometimes we fight ourselves in terms of like, but it's not good enough, right? Like it's not perfect like it was then, instead of being like, this is what I can do right now, given my current circumstances. And yeah, it looks different, but that's okay.
Yeah. And I think that that's been a huge thing. I mean, like when I first started my fitness, I was so just strict with everything. And that just didn't work. I mean, I was a macro counter. Like, I mean, that's not necessarily, I wouldn't say a bad thing. It just didn't work for me. I was just strict. I would bring my own meals to everything that I did, like with family events and things like that. And it's just, I'm very glad that I got over that mindset and kind of got to a place where I do know that, you know, some things are better than no things. And I mean, for me, it's really letting go of any sort of guilt. So it's just like, okay, when I'm spending time with Gray, I can like see my to-do list behind me. And I'm like, holy crap, I have so much stuff to do. Like maybe I could just do some of this right now. But it's like, no, this is what is important to me. And so that's what I'm going to be focusing on. And it's just kind of really almost like compartmentalizing my brain to really look in these pockets of time of like, this is Gray time, this is work time, this is that time. And like when things don't get done, it's not beating myself up. It's just, this is what I can do. This is what I'm capable of doing. And also looking for like fitness and stuff too. I mean, walking is huge for us right now. It's like, yeah, maybe I'm not going to the gym every single morning, but I'm going for walks twice a day. And that's something I can do with both Merlot and Gray. And so it's like looking at these things as not, I'm not giving up on something. It's like, this is also a positive. It doesn't have to be a bad thing.
Yeah. You're pivoting, right? Yeah. It's like, okay, not that, then this, is what I can do. I love that. I can totally relate. Obviously with a baby thrown in the mix, things just have to change. And I also kind of have moved on from, well, not kind of, totally moved on from like the very strict, aggressive, like this is what it has to look like in terms of food rules and fitness. And I'm so thankful for that experience, because I think sometimes hitting those ends of the spectrum where it's like too restrictive and obviously not sustainable teaches us how to swing back to the middle of like, this may not be the ideal, but you know what? It's what can get done most of the time.
Exactly. I love it.
Okay, Paige, I want you to coach us a little bit. You have had a couple of zingers on your Instagram page recently, which I'm going to have you share with everyone at the end of our conversation. And just some things that like, oof, that really hit hard. And so I want you to give us like a little bit of background into why these things are so important. So I have three that I, if we have time, want to hit on. Okay. The first one is the only thing holding you back is inaction. Tell us why inaction is holding us back.
When I wrote this one, it's really thinking of, and this can literally apply to anything. It can apply to your business. It can apply to your health, your fitness. So many people are just wanting more for themselves, or they're unhappy with where they are, or they're feeling stuck and they're, for lack of better words, complaining about it and feeling sorry for themselves about it. And if you guys don't know me, if you do follow me on Instagram, you know, I'm a very like to the point type of person with it, like call you out on your shit kind of person. But people are just complaining and staying stuck, and that's why they're staying stuck. And it's people are waiting for the perfect opportunity to fall in their lap and to land in their lap. And the truth is, it's just not going to happen. The only way that you're going to get to a place of where you want to be is by taking directed, motivated action every single day to where you want to be. And I think so many people are just kind of playing victim to their life of, oh, it's not working out for me. I don't have this. Oh, when I have more money, then I'll do this thing. Or, okay, but when my kids go into school, then I'll do the thing. When this, then I'll do that. And the only thing that's keeping you stuck is you're just not doing the thing. And it's kind of going back to what we just talked about is maybe your way doesn't look how you maybe picture perfect it to look. I mean, my life hasn't. I've fucking zigzagged. Sorry, I don't know if I can swear on here.
Totally.
But I've zigzagged all over the place to get to where I am. And things just have to look different sometimes. And sometimes you just have to take action and just stop sitting on your butt. And that's how you're going to get to where you want to be.
Totally. I see this a lot. Actually, it's so interesting that we're talking about this because I just spoke about this on my Instagram stories today about I'm going to wait until, you know, after the holidays. We're recording this in October, so that's a big one right now. After my kid stops getting sick all the time, or my kids are in school, like you mentioned. And it's really just an excuse to not go anywhere because, as I'm sure you know, there's always something around the corner. Like there's always going to be a new thing that we can use to stay inactive.
Yeah. Once the kids are in school, then you're going to have a big car payment that you didn't expect. So, you know, there's always something.
So it's about taking like that messy, imperfect action now, even when maybe circumstances are less than ideal, and just moving like a fraction closer to where you want to be, which will add up over time.
Yeah. Well, if you think about it, the only reason you're staying stuck is because you're not taking action. So the excuses and the this isn't working and I'll do this when this happens, none of that is taking action. The only thing that's going to get you somewhere is taking action. So you have to really get over that part and just understand that literally all you have to do is take action and you're going to get to where you want to be.
Yeah. I had a former mentor and he always used to say the easiest choice to make is no choice at all, which is why so many of us stay where we're at, right?
Yeah.
The other choice, taking action, even if it's small and perfect action, it feels uncomfortable, but that's what's required to create change.
Yeah.
Okay. Ready for the next one? The other one that I was particularly impacted by was the work doesn't stop after you hire a coach. And it sounds like you're the best person to speak to this because you've had many, many coaches. And I think this is something that we fall into thinking a lot in terms of like, oh, I hired a nutrition coach, or oh, I hired a health coach, or oh, I hired a business coach. Now I can kind of like sit back and relax. Why is that not the case?
Yeah. And I mean, I think so many people, and it's hard because I also think that social media does play a big part of this, which is why I wanted to post that as well. Because I think that the way that people, whether you're a fitness coach, nutrition coach, business coach, I think a way that a lot of coaches market themselves is that coaching is the answer. And it is essentially, but it's not that the coaching is the answer. It's what happens inside of that container. And that's really up to how you use your container. And so I think that there can be some misconception a little bit that when you hire the coach, all of a sudden you have everything and you're not really going to have to make any massive changes. It's really not that. It's when you hire the coach, you now have that support to be held as you make these scary changes or as you make these uncomfortable changes, and you have that person to really help direct you through the path of least resistance to make that change, right? But if you don't have the coach, you don't really have that path of least resistance. And so I think a lot of people jump into coaching containers and they just think, okay, I did it. I was on the fence for a long time. I did it. Here I am. And I think that, yeah, again, marketing can really make it seem like hiring the coach is the answer, but it's truly the work that you do inside of that coaching container that matters. And why coaching works is because when you're in the coaching container, you're a lot more likely to make scarier decisions or make more uncomfortable decisions because you know that you kind of have the reassurance that it's going to work and that you're really held during that time. When you're doing it by yourself, it's really easy to just kind of stay in one place because you're not sure if what you're doing is going to work. And so why would you do it if it's uncomfortable and scary and you're not even sure? But at least when you have the coach, you know that those decisions are going to get you somewhere.
I do think you're right. Social media really plays into this.
Yeah.
I just think before and after pictures in my mind, right? Coming from like the nutrition and fitness space, it's like, oh, look what I did for this client. When in reality, if we think about a different type of coaching, I grew up playing soccer and volleyball and all the things. I wouldn't go onto the field or go onto the court and be like, okay, cool. Like the coach is going to do it for me, right? You have to still show up and shoot the goal, but you have the strategy that the coach gave you. You have the encouragement from the coach. You have, you know, the direction when something doesn't go according to plan. So it's interesting that social media has kind of, I don't know, maybe like soured coaching in a way because of that sort of marketing. When in reality, you, the client, and you and I are both clients who have the same coach right now. Yeah. So we, the clients, have to do the work. It's just that, like you mentioned, we get there faster with the coach with fewer like turbulent spots, I think.
Yeah. And it's like your coach is there as well when you really need them. It's like if you're really struggling with something, you don't have someone there, you're probably going to sit in the struggle for a lot longer than if you had the coach where you're like, hey, this is what I'm going through. This is what I'm struggling with. And you can work through it a lot faster. So it's really up to the person, the client inside of the container to take the action and make sure that they're reaching out and make sure that they're doing the work inside of the container. But I like that soccer analogy. That's a good one.
Right. Like that's what I think when I think coaching. That was just my first introduction to the coaching world. But it's funny how with like online coaching, because of that marketing, we just treat it so differently. Mm-hmm. Okay. Third and final little zinger that I want you to touch on. To be successful, you must make decisions from where you want to be, not from where you currently are.
So this one I find is truly like besides the strategy in life or like besides the strategy in life and in business and whatever for me, this was probably one of the main components of anything I've ever been successful in, if that makes sense. And so what this is really acting as if, like we've all heard the saying, fake it till you make it, which I hate. No, I don't like it, but I really like thinking embody it until it becomes a reality. And so that's really what this post is about, is it's if you want something, you need to really be that person who has that thing. You need to show up as if you have that thing, because that's when you're going to get that thing, right? So it's also if you're wanting to, let's just say, if you want to have connections of really successful people, say that you're like, social network is just crap and you feel like everyone around you is drinking all the time and partying all the time and complaining all the time and complaining about their husbands or their kids or whatever. And that's who you're surrounding yourself with. That's more of what you're going to have. If you're wanting to say have girlfriends who they want to go to spin with you or they want to go to yoga with you and they want to go on long walks with you and they maybe, I don't know, have successful lives, like how are you going to get more of that thing? You're not going to get it by showing up as this person who's sitting in your current social circle, complaining and whatever. You're going to get that by being that person. So being number one, the person that you want to be, because those people who are like that, those people who are successful and are healthy and do have good mindsets, they're not going to want to hang out with someone who's complaining all the time. So first of all, you have to be that person that you want to be or that you want that situation. And then you have to put yourself where those people are as well. Where are you going to find those people? Right. It's also like being in a coaching container. It's like, if you want to, or like a group coach, something that you and I are in, like a mastermind or whatever. It's like, if you want to be surrounded with successful people or whatever, you have to put yourself into those situations. And so I know with my business, when I was trying to grow my fitness coaching business, even the times where I was struggling financially and I was a new business owner and things felt so hard, I really acted as if I had what I wanted. I would sit every morning and I would journal. I'm so excited, or I'm so happy that I have 6 figures sitting in the bank. I'm so excited that I have 10 clients or 20 clients, whatever, working with me online right now. And like, I would just embody it and I would get into that energy, because when I got into that energy, I could then go and show up that way too. No one's going to want to hire a coach who's just like down on themselves and feels unconfident and doesn't really show up as an authority or whatever else. So I had to really get into that place of, yeah, I do have this. And sometimes that looked like me going and buying the organic fruit and the things that like I thought my best self would have. Sometimes it actually looked kind of like in a physical of treating myself maybe once a month to a pedicure, even if I couldn't afford once a week. Maybe it was just like once a month, and I'd get into that energy so that I could really feel that, and then more of those things would come to me. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense. Yes. Yeah. I actually, as you were talking about putting yourself in places where like future you, ideal you hangs out, mm-hmm. I was thinking back to bring our conversation full circle, a conversation I had years and years ago. I was single at the time and I was talking with one of my training clients, because I used to be a personal trainer, and she was talking to me about whether or not I'd ever have an online dating profile. And I was like, I don't know, maybe, but like, I really just want to meet someone organically, like at a bookstore. And this client just looked at me and she was like, then I hope you spend a lot of time at bookstores. And I was just taken back because I wasn't prepared for that response, but yeah. I didn't spend a ton of time at bookstores. And then I realized how silly that was for me to say something like that. Yeah. Why would I ever find my person there if I'm not putting myself in an environment where I want to meet said person? Right. So
it's just so true.
Yeah. Like a silly anecdote to exactly what you're saying. You have to show up as the version of yourself you want to be and put yourself in containers, in spaces where those people are already showing up.
Yeah. So wait, where did you meet your husband?
At a gym.
Did you?
Yeah. We were both personal trainers. So it ended up working out that way, but not at a bookstore. Not at a bookstore. Wow. I love it. So Paige, final question before you tell all of our listeners where they can find and connect with you. Mm-hmm. What advice would you give to the woman listening who wants to create change in her life? Maybe she wants to start her own business, or maybe she just wants to start taking control of her health and fitness, mm-hmm. but she's currently frozen. She's in that like inaction place because mm-hmm. she's unsure about whether or not she'll be successful. Mm-hmm. What would you say to her?
I would say, well, two things. So the first one is I would really look at, okay, so you're in this place, wherever it is that you are right now, and you want to be somewhere else or in a different position, but you're scared that it won't work out. The first thing I would say is, well, right now you are quite literally living your biggest fear in that situation. You are where you don't want to be. So the first thing is really understanding that by taking whatever this action is that you need to take, or by doing whatever it is that you need to take, you can't go down from there because you're already there technically. So even if it doesn't work out, so what? Then you're where you are right now. But what if it does is the biggest thing. And I think the second thing is taking your big goal, whatever it is, and not being frozen in fear of what needs to happen in order to get there, because there's probably going to be a lot of steps, right? It's probably not going to be, if it's a big goal, the easiest, like I do this and it's done type situation. So instead of really looking at everything that needs to happen, what are three things that you can do today that that person would do? Or what are three things that you can do today that are going to get you closer to where you want to be? So maybe if you're really nervous about, or maybe you're wanting to make a big lifestyle change, you're wanting to, I don't know, we'll just use the health and fitness for example. If you're wanting to lose a bunch of weight or you don't know how, what could you do to get you closer to that spot? So maybe it's reaching out for support to someone, and maybe just help getting help with having that person help you with the first couple of steps. Maybe it's taking inventory of your kitchen first and maybe just going through that and making that your first step. Maybe it's introducing a new habit. Maybe it's just drinking more. You know what I mean? It's really breaking it down and then every day giving yourself three more things to do or three more goals.
Do we essentially have to get out of our own way by telling ourselves that that's not good enough? It's not big enough. It's not impressive enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's just really breaking it, like reverse engineering. I mean, I'm such a big fan of looking at what it is that you want and okay, breaking down what needs to happen, but also not taking everything on at once and just taking actions every single day, right? Doing better, being better than you were yesterday, or being, you know, trying to be your best self, being the best version of yourself every single day. And that's going to probably get you to that goal rather than just sitting there and being like, that's too far away. I don't know what to do, or I can't do it.
It seems like it's worked well for you, Paige. Mm-hmm. I mean, you mentioned how you kind of completely reinvented yourself once with fitness and now again as a badass CEO, single mom.
Yeah. And I think that is a huge thing, is just not looking at what is that end goal. Like for me, I don't know what I know what I want for myself. I know ideas of what I would like to achieve and what I want to do, but I'm not really looking at that as a big, huge, oh my God, I don't have it right now. I suck. It's how can I just be my best version of myself today? And that's going to get me to that place. And just keeping those goals in mind too. And I mean, when you have your goals in mind of what you want, you have a good idea of if the things that you're doing every day are getting you further or closer to that goal.
Yeah. Just doing like the next best thing mm-hmm. that feels aligned with that version yeah. of yourself. Yeah. Oh, I love it. Paige, tell everyone where they can find you on Instagram. And I know you have a podcast of your own. Where can we connect?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my podcast right now is the hashtag Best Self Entrepreneur. You can listen to that everywhere. We're going to be doing a big rebrand coming up. So the name will be changing, but for now that's where it is. It also has an Instagram account. So if you want to follow that Instagram account, you'll automatically see the name change and all of that once we get that going. And then my personal business Instagram account is at Paige_Vandy, V-A-N-D-Y. And yeah, that's where all things you can find me. My program is the online Fitness Coach Society that has an Instagram account as well that we actually just started that account. So it's super, super baby new. But that's a place for people who are wanting to start their own online fitness health coaching business.
Go follow Paige. She's constantly sharing amazing like business entrepreneurial tips and tricks, but also I love the gray and Merlot features. Those just make my day when they're on your stories and your Instagram posts.
I feel like they're really taking over these days. Like I should probably post more business stuff.
How can they not? Paige, thank you so much for your time. And I know your time is extremely precious. We value your expertise and your time. So thanks for being with us today.
Oh, thanks for having me. This was fun.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. If you like what you heard today, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe, and then head on over to nutritioncoachingwithnicole.com where you can sign up for my weekly emails where I send out my favorite tips, tricks, advice, and support every single Monday morning to help you kick your week off right. Thanks for listening. Until next time.